This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three of Mino the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Special thanks to Bill Morgan joining us this morning talking about the Green Bay Blue Ribbons. Anders Lindwall, director of the Green and Gold movie, making its national debut on the 31st. And now, very honored to be joined by a longtime compadre of mine. We worked together back in Flint, Michigan, and she was like broadcast royalty back in the day, and I think still is. JoJo Shuddy McGregor is the name. As they say, you can Google her. JoJo, good morning. How are you?
John, I've been waiting for this moment to be with you. On the radio.
Okay. Hey.
We've been together on TV, and of course, it wasn't just Flint. Remember, it was Flint, Saginaw, Bay City, and Midland, so we covered mid-Michigan pretty darn well, and I was just really excited to be working with you, because even then, you had your tendencies to be so involved with veterans, and of course, I can't tell you how much I've been reading up on you. And I'm just so proud. I'm going to start off with a couple of disclaimers. The first one being, I'm so proud to know you and all of the work that you've done for the veterans and how you've helped them. And I can't tell you more than that, because my dad was in World War II and the Army, and my mom was a Rosie the Riveter. So I've got some deep, deep bonds for our veterans. And I love America.
Oh,
I love you. And now I'm getting to know your partner, right?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. That was really funny, I have to be honest with you. I was out there getting a cup of coffee, and I heard Todd say, well, if you call him Mr. Mayor, they'll make him very happy.
No, Jim's fine.
It sounds like a good thing to do, but I give you your honors, and for you being one of the longest mayors there in Green Bay, I'm proud to know you as well, Mr. Mayor Jim.
All right, there we go.
Well, JoJo, the way this all got started is one of our guys, one of our marketing directors, says, you're not going to believe this. You got to hear the voicemail I got from these guys in Finland. And we're talking Todd here, and it's a young guy, the other guy, but Todd, who's a veteran of radio, knows everything about how all this stuff works, which I'm still figuring out after 100 years. But he explained how AM signals can go around the world, basically, and these guys in Finland were listening on AM. And we got to talking. I said, well, one of the biggest AM stations ever was across the river from Detroit in Windsor. And I go, oh, my gosh, and the disc jockey was one of the most famous. Well, he was the most famous in Canada, but also in North America, was a good friend of mine's husband. His name was Byron McGregor. And I explained that he had a number one hit on the radio with a record which involved no singing. JoJo, can you take it from there and talk about that number one hit that your husband put out?
Oh, my goodness. Where do we begin? I certainly can't even talk about my career in broadcasting.
Oh, no, we're getting to that. We're getting to that.
No, but I say that I can't without mentioning him, because he was the one who got me in the air and on the air. My first on-air job, I never dreamt was going to be in a helicopter in the air. So we'll start at that point.
Hang on one second, JoJo. Let me just say this. JoJo here was the very first helicopter weather female in North America. She went up in this tiny little helicopter. It looked like one of those ones in MASH when they bring in the wounded troops. And you were flying all over Metro Detroit, the very first one female to ever do this. Got to ask you, JoJo, a few nervous moments when you'd go up in that thing or no?
No, you know, okay. I it was an opportunity. I was already in television, but I was behind the scenes at WWJ TV at the time. It was radio, television, and the Detroit News. And that was a huge station in Detroit, but I was right out of Michigan State. And I was young and eager to do just about anything on the air, behind the scenes, in front, or whatever. And so I was the promotion director. And everybody ahead of me was probably already into their 60s or 70s. So that's where, it's not like I just got started on CKLW, but I did have a life before that. I was pretty much one of those kids that got started in the performing arts when I was young. And I know we're going to go back and cover Byron and all of that. But see, he ties in with part of this because, first of all, I was on the radio and TV when I was a youngster. I was in baton twirling competition along with my sister. I have an older sister, Sharon. And so the two of us would be on a TV show, much like the Mickey Mouse Club, but it wasn't a contest. It was called the Auntie D Show in Detroit. We were regulars. We were baton twirlers, and we were in competition. I won my world championship in baton twirling when I was a youngster. And then I started twirling at Michigan State at halftime as kids on the 50-yard line and at the Detroit Lions games. And let me just tell you that I really, really wish, John, that my Detroit Lions were headed for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so do we.
Another disclaimer, and that I've been a Michigan State Spartan all my life because of ties to Duffy Doherty, the great head football coach, especially in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. So now we go back. I'm at WWJ Channel 4 in Detroit, and I get a call from just an agent in Detroit that said they're looking for someone to do traffic from a helicopter at CKLW radio. And I'm thinking, okay, I heard radio and I heard on the air, I heard the helicopter, but I was thinking, oh, a traffic copter. All right. So I decide to go over for the interview. And of course, I call my sister who was not working at the time. And I said, hey, Sharon, you have to go over and be interviewed as well. And I've got some work to do here at Channel 4. And hopefully I'll get over there. And she said, okay, Mom, Dad, and I are saying that you have to go over too. So I was the last of 57 women to be interviewed. My sister was right before me, and Byron was doing the interview. Now, I did not know Byron McGregor personally. The only thing I knew at the time was that he had done The Americans, the spoken word record, at the tail end of 1973, and it hit the top of the charts in 1974. So I didn't bring that up, but the first thing he said to me is, JoJo, what's your real name? And I should have asked him what his real name was, because Byron McGregor was an on-air name that he was asked to take because there was already another guy in the air with his legal name. So I said, well, you know what? Byron, my dad had two daughters. I was the second of two daughters. And instead of being the boy, Joe Jr., I became JoJo with a hyphen, J-O hyphen J-O. So that's my legal name. Everyone asks me that. And I said, nope, that's what I came into the world as, and that's how I remain to this day. So we get done with the interviews. I leave, Sharon leaves, and I say to her, hey, that was a good interview. I hope you get the job. I'm still working, but hopefully I'll see him again, meaning Byron. Little did I know, right? So I got the job, and it was a flurry from the beginning, and there was a lot of publicity from day one. Nobody else in the Motor City was doing traffic, and especially from a helicopter, and especially a female. Now, Byron decided he wanted to go with a female voice because he had a 22-man news department at the time at CKLW Radio, a top 40 rock and roll station, had a 22-man news department. And he decided he was going to go with me or with a female voice. And people always ask that is another question, because right, why did he go that route? And the days were interesting, to say the least. In terms of, I'll get back to the signal.
Can I just ask you?
Hang on one second, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to ask you in the interview. Do you remember the interview? Did they ask you about helicopters? Because that's like wasn't the biggest thing back then.
I know. It's so experimental.
And I think even now, more or less, because there's more helicopters, there's more crashes. Yeah. But did they talk about that part of your job, or was it more your personality and the fact that you knew weather?
Being from Metro Detroit helped out, and I will say that as a person who ended up flying, because there were markers on the ground that we weren't far enough off the ground to begin with. Let's just start with that. If I'd have been in a fixed wing as opposed to a helicopter, you don't get to see the street signs on the freeways, and you don't get to see the Detroit Zoo, and you don't get to see the landmarks around the city. So I was big on that. And no, I did not ask questions about the helicopter. But guess what? Daddy Joe Shuddy said to me shortly after I was contemplating it, he said, "So is there any insurance?"
That's what I'd say. That's cool.
I kind of looked at him. Yeah. Well, as it turns out, you know, I became what would be like a pilot. What kind of insurance, right? No, there was no talk of that. Isn't that strange? I guess that'll be the strangest thing in my skeletons in the closet that I wasn't knowledgeable. I was a college grad in broadcast and telecommunications, and I don't ask what I'm going to be flying around in. But I have to tell you that my pilots, and this is what happened, there was no way they were going to hire somebody that was going to fly the helicopter, the chopper, and also try to report, because I not only was reporting for CKLW AM, the top 40 rock and roll station, talking to the disc jockeys in between reports and all of that, but I also had to do reports on CKLW FM, and that was a country music station. So in between report, I'd go back and forth between top 40 rock and roll, listening to the music and dancing in the helicopter, basically with my feet. And then I'd go over to FM 94 country and listen to all the great country music. So it was unusual to start with. All my pilots, John, you'll love this, they were in one way or another involved with the Vietnam War and were pilots.
Well, I believe
and
it.
So I felt, did I feel safe? I felt that they knew what they were doing when they came to pick me up in the helicopter.
Okay, JoJo,
and
we're going to
trusted them.
We're going to be sent into a break, but we're going to play some of The American right here from your husband, Byron.
Sounds good.
Here we go. And stay tuned through the break. Thank you, JoJo. Hang on.
United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to...
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And Pa at home to spend up here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said to hell with the rest of the world? Let somebody else buy the bonds. Let somebody else build or repair foreign dams, or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France and Germany and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both of them are still broke. I can name to you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name to me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone, and I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They'll come out of this thing with their flag high, and when they do, they're entitled to thumb their noses at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these. But there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans this morning that it was broke. This year's disasters with the year less than half over, has taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
Wow. It's 1973 all over again.
I was going to say that. That could have a resurgence.
Yeah. JoJo, were you married to him when he did that?
No way.
Okay.
No, there's two things. Remind me to tell you about the signal. Because if he hadn't read that, what was an editorial in the Toronto Star that was written by Gordon Sinclair, kind of a curmudgeonly 70, 80, 90-year-old. So some of the words you hear, Byron was about 21 or 22 at the time.
Oh.
He was the youngest news director to be hired at CKLW at 19. He was born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He was heading east because his dad was also in the business in Calgary on the air as a radio morning show host. It runs very deep in our family, two families, I should say, both mine and Byron's. My sister's in broadcasting, has been all her career, and Byron's younger brother and his dad. So out of all the kids, four out of the five of us have been in broadcasting.
And he is in the national or world, whatever you want to call it, Radio Hall of Fame, right?
He just got inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame posthumously in Nashville as a legend in broadcasting. So his legend will live on. The legend of CKLW is the fact that it could be heard throughout not just southeastern Michigan and much of Ohio and beyond and off to the west. And yes, the signal was so powerful that it was interfering with Mexican AM radio stations. And the Canadian station ended up being able to be heard in 28 states in six Canadian provinces. So that's how it blasted into everyone's life, I'd say, at that point. And it became the soundtrack of their lives. And in Detroit and in the Detroit market, which was huge, he along with CKLW, brought it to the top of the charts at about a point that AM radio was having a little bit of a heyday and then did resume its power because the baby boomers were on board now and they were listening to radio and they were transistor radios in their pockets, but they could pick them up if they were studying in Bowling Green, Ohio, at Bowling Green University in Ohio, or if they were anywhere else. So when he read the Americans, they were just words in the newspaper. He had set it in his desk drawer at the station. He believed in it strongly. He already had his, he eventually became a U.S. citizen. I must say that because throughout the record, he talks about being a Canadian. That's damn proud. But Byron became a U.S. citizen in 1983. I started at CKLW in 1974, late 1974. He had the record late 1973. So it was just at the end of that next year that he was, you know, he was all over the world and all over the country in terms of doing the record. And it hit the top of the charts, one of the few spoken word records that would sell 3.5 million copies. We mustn't forget that Byron donated all of the proceeds, more than 3.5 million copies, brought in over $150,000 just in the first, I'd say, 6 to 9 months. Is quite the record, and it continues to this day to help out the American Red Cross, because at the time that this song came out, spoken word record, the American Red Cross was broke. We know what's going on out in California. Yes, they always need help, and so Byron was able to do that, and I'm continuing to do that in my own way. And back to the station's power, that's the other reason why the traffic reports were so important. Detroit, of course, known as the Motor City with all the big three there, but we had the second largest freeway system, second only to LA, and we had no mass transit. So me in a helicopter was what everybody just couldn't get enough of in terms of the reports. They waited day and night, morning and afternoon drive. I was flying for about 7 hours. 4 hours in the morning for morning drive and 3 in the afternoon, and in between doing public appearances and landing at you know, Goodyear tire or Bell tire, things that related. It was a very expensive operation for CKLW to send up their own chopper. I know these days some stations still have, you know, two or three stations that they feed reports to. But no, I became known as the voice of traffic. So my name's kind of synonymous with traffic when you talk about me. You know, Angel of the Airwaves.
Well,
it's a bird,
cool
it's
title.
A plane, it's JoJo.
Wow.
JoJo in the sky with rotor blades. I mean, that just tells you what people thought of me. And all good. A good skeleton in my closet,
yeah,
as we say, right?
So what are you doing? We're running out of time. What are you doing now? You sound like, are you teaching? You have a lot of...
You just don't have any enthusiasm.
Kind of what I'm saying.
Well, believe it or not,
how can you get her out of her shell, John?
Believe it or not, I'd love to be coaching. I mean, I could be doing podcasts and everything else, but you know what I told Big Sister during the shutdown? I'm not even going to call it what everybody has their own opinions of whether there was COVID, whether it was a shutdown, whatever it was that kept us away from each other. But I happened to get stuck, and I say that fondly, at my sister's house in Chicago. And I live in Metro Detroit. Sharon's in Metro Chicago. And she was at a TV station here for 33 years. But I said to her at that point, you know, Sharon, I can't go back home. I don't have 5,000 rolls of toilet paper stashed in my basement. I'll stay with you. And I said, I really think we need to stop down and get a life.
JoJo, I'm so sorry. Arts. We're coming. We're
going to get you back.
You
this
are
is great.
Awesome.
That's okay.
All right. You're the best, JoJo Shoney McGregor. Thank you.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Todd, you've put together the greatest lineup
in
radio history. Bill Morgan, Green Bay Blue Ribbons, Anders Lindwald, who was phenomenal, director of the Green and Gold movie, JoJo Shuddy McGregor, legendary broadcaster, his husband did that number one hit that we played. I just wish I could have gotten her out of her shell.
Yeah, you know what's just great is that I stayed on the phone with her after you guys were done with her, and yeah, I was on for like another 10 right. minutes.
and she's on hold, and she's still on hold.
Yeah, she's still talking.
She's still talking.
She was great.
Wow.
We'll get her back again for part two. Colleen Rourkebeck, I always mispronounce your name, Colleen, and I just want to apologize right off the bat.
You got it perfectly.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Alton Public Library, you guys have been working to put together a spectacular library, and the finish line is there, correct?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yes, we're very excited. February 15th is our grand opening day, Saturday, February 15th.
I'm anxious to see it. I've heard that the architecture is spectacular.
It is. It's quite gorgeous. The building is amazing. You can't believe it's the same structure.
Beautiful.
That's great for other communities to see what you can do with an existing property, right? And you...
Yes. Yeah. We want to be a model.
I mean,
sustainability, the most sustainable thing you can do is reuse a structure like this. So Bolt was amazing. They kept track of everything they recycled and the amount of tons of metals that were recycled. So we're really proud of that.
And the community, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I mean, the library is going to be great. Probably the best one in Outagamie, if not, you know, Northeast Wisconsin. But I want to talk a little bit about how you did that. Other people have talked about, let's renovate the library. And that's not an easy thing, but you've got some private money. What, 30% private money or 25%?
The project was $40.4 million, and the fundraising goal was $12 million.
Okay, yeah. 12 to 25.
Yeah. So there was private?
Oh, quite a bit of private funding.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So, and we're at 11.9, so we're very close.
Well, talk to John after.
Yeah.
Jeez, come on.
Yeah, yeah, I can write that one.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So what's the biggest thing, the biggest change people are going to see? Because I thought it was really interesting. I said that to you out in the lobby this morning, too, how when you came in and we're going to be closing the library for this renovation, do you have your library plan in place? And I'm like, that's pretty cool to think that far ahead. But obviously people decide they're going to go to this library, they're going to check out this many books. What's the biggest thing they're going to notice when they come back into your new place?
I think the biggest thing they'll notice is it's just a completely different vibe. When you walk in, it's a really inspirational space. The ceiling heights are a good 3.5-4 feet higher because we got the drop ceilings out of there, and you've got that kind of cool industrial ceiling look. But also, it's a place that you kind of want to wander around and discover.
That's important. That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. I think that light, I mean, compared to the old library, for anybody that remembers the old library, it was kind of a bunker of a space. And so this library has a lot of natural light, even all the way down into the lowest level where the kids area is. I think it's got a kind of an amazing balance of energy, but also kind of warmth and comforting spaces.
You know, people can buy a book offline. They can do whatever. There's something special about the going to a library, especially when it's a welcoming place like that. And especially when you bring kids, it's like it kind of adds on to the enjoyment of reading books and that excitement about finding that book that you really like on that shelf and you can take it and the whole thing. I mean, I go way back to when I was a little kid. My brother would take me to the library and it was like 5 and I'd get books on fire trucks or whatever. And I never lost that passion because it was a great experience from the start.
I think we should talk about the vibe. I mean, everybody there is kind of doing the same thing, yet everybody's doing something different.
But right.
It be like walking into a big place and everybody's cooking. I mean, you're just going to be part of it and you feel very comfortable in what you're doing. I think that I hear what you're saying. That's really important. It's like, why would you want to go to the library? Well, I can't put my finger on it, but you want to go there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you get, like, especially for kids, like, this is probably the first place you're told, like, you can pick out anything you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the only negative, though, and I'm sure you guys didn't contact me before you went through with this, and not going to criticize or anything like that, but I'll bet you don't have my favorite thing that I used to look forward to when I'd go to the library when I was a kid. Those slides and that big thing. Do you remember that? From pictures from like Africa and the pyramids.
Oh.
And then have those viewfinder things.
That's what it was, viewfinder.
Yeah. I really had no idea where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Neither did the rest of us. Don't feel bad.
Do you have those viewfinder things?
We do
there.
Not.
Happens every day.
Oh, no.
Do you have any at the old place that I could have? I'd love to have one
of
those.
We are not a museum.
There you go.
Weren't those cool, though? You can't tell me you didn't spend hours looking at those things.
The viewfinders were awesome.
Oh, they were.
Yes.
And it's amazing for that.
You know, there's new technology, though, right, that plugs in.
It's called video.
It's called the internet.
You know what? Those things worked fine. They worked fine. Didn't need to be fixed.
Right.
Just saying.
But the brightness of that was, those were unbelievable
pictures.
They were pictures.
Awesome.
They really were. Anyway, so day after Valentine's Day, the 15th, you open ribbon cutting or what's the deal?
So we're going to be open like a regular day for us. So 9 to 5 for a Saturday. And then we'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony, kind of program at 11 o'clock.
All right.
But otherwise, we'll have different kind of things going on throughout the building. The specific schedule or plans outside of knowing we've got our 11 o'clock event.
Awesome.
Is still kind of being finalized right now. Yeah.
And tell me, libraries, newspapers, checking out books, but you must have rooms or meeting places for people to go to.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about the non-traditional library.
Yeah. So the library itself has a lot of different kind of zones, like different spaces throughout the building that have a different kind of aesthetic. So if you want to be in the really active, lively space, there's places for you. If you want a little bit more of a quiet place to read, there's places for you. But then there is specific rooms. We have study rooms that actually have increased soundproofing. So a library is a much more vibrant, lively space than it used to be. So
I've noticed
some spaces
that.
Where you
people
can
don't
get away
whisper
from that.
It. People don't really whisper anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, I don't know. No,
I mean, I go back to
when was the last time you whispered?
I whisper a lot. I whisper a lot. I whisper. Do you have? I'm sure technology wise has improved this, but one of my favorite things when I was writing some of my books, I'd go back into the history, the mimeograph or not the mimeograph, the microfilm at the Brown County Library, and I would just get enthralled in reading old newspapers and everything. Do you guys still have access?
We still
to
have
that.
We
that
do.
Is so
yes.
cool.
Yes, we have the Post-Crescent back to its origins. Appleton used to have a German language newspaper. We have that. So absolutely. And people, a lot of our most popular programs are genealogy programs.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of family history researchers use those resources. Yeah. Absolutely.
My son learned so much from going to those classes here.
Yeah.
He's huge into that. But that's a great thing. But I still say libraries are a very important part of youngsters, especially to develop that love of reading.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but you entice them quite early with, you must have story time and...
Oh, from birth. Yeah. We have,
I know.
We have story times for newborns.
Yeah.
And we are the place where lot of parents learn. They're their child's first teacher. Before they get to school, you're at the library, you're interacting with other new parents, you're learning developmental skills in a sneaky way through story time.
Exactly.
And so that's a really important part of what we do.
Okay, my favorite time of the year is the used book sale.
Oh,
are you guys having one of those?
We're going to have those back again. Yeah,
right.
We've had them a couple times a year.
I bought three of my own books that I wrote at the used book sale. I thought, hey, a bargain's a bargain.
Right?
Did you really sell them or something, John?
But I thought, hey, that's a bargain.
Did you read the dedication? You're like, who donated this book back?
Maybe.
All right, so you have... $12.5 million of private money. And I think I can see why people gave to you. You're educating people. Every good community has a good library. I mean, would you agree, even Two Rivers, some of these smaller places?
Oh, absolutely. The best libraries really are geared around their community's needs. And so it's not about like how big your community is, how small it is. There you can see some of the most creative things in small libraries because they can kind of pivot and do things in a more nimble way.
True.
So it's every community. I would say that the communities that are really showing that they care about themselves and care about their community members, you know, look at their libraries and you'll often see some really innovative things happening there.
I couldn't agree more.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And it's had to change over the years. I mean, we were joking a little bit about, you know, with the whispering. I remember, you know, probably every woman there. Well, they all looked like they're between 75 and 80.
I was going to ask
they're
about
probably
that.
52
changed.
At
that's
the
changed.
Time. And they'd have the little
hello?
Thing. They'd have the little thing in their hair. And they'd always have their glasses on the little chains that would hang down.
Yeah, that's not.
But didn't we all grow up with those ladies?
Yes.
That is really funny, though. After he said that, I'm just thinking of, as we're talking here, that whispering.
Yeah,
that was and nobody questioned it.
No.
Like, oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot.
Yeah. It's not quite like that as much.
Anyway, do you, with these new books, are you getting some flack? You can't have this book. You can have this book. When are you on a committee?
So in terms of materials challenges and intellectual freedom challenges in Appleton, we haven't experienced a lot of that.
Right.
I think we're pretty proactive. We work with staff, so they know that. In those interactions with people who are expressing concerns, it's really important to validate that they're the expert in their values and that it's not about us telling them about what book they should read. We're here to help match their interests and their if they have a value stream, to help them identify books that they're interested in or that they want their children to read. So we're not here to serve in lieu of parents or any of that. Mm-hmm. That's not our job at all.
Did you ever get turned down from trying to check out a book? I did one time when I was in high school. True story.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, I didn't either. True story. We had to do a book report, so I wanted to check out a book called North Dallas 40. It was written by a guy who used to play football for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, it was very risque for its time, but it basically talked about how this is the real way it is in the NFL.
Oh, you were too young.
And I was a junior in high school. I was like 15, and you had to be 16 to check it out. I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, that's that. Well, and some of the legislation that's coming in some communities has things like that in some states.
Right, right.
In Appleton, I think we've got a community that kind of respects that. We're going to be serving a diverse range of needs, and that maybe something that I find offensive isn't necessarily for me, but that doesn't mean that my opinions or values can keep it from being in our library for other people to access.
So you're a Lawrence grad, right?
I am a Lawrence grad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you offer internships? I mean, those, like I was telling you, kids who go to Lawrence are,
they're awesome.
They are. I said they're smart, but they're pretty smart kids to get in there. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard school to get into. Do they come and help you out? Do they do study groups and internships?
So we do have some internships, and actually we have we've been doing them with high school students the past couple of years because we really want to encourage people to consider librarianship as a career or work in a library. And so we've done them with high school students, and so we're working on one right now for a more college age potential interest.
I would love to work in a library.
Well, you should apply for that internship.
Well, I would spend 90% of the time reading books and going through magazines and newspapers.
Same reason
versus helping somebody. I'll be honest.
Same reason he doesn't bartend.
That's a very good point. Actually is a very good point.
Good analogy there. I think that's great. We talk about internships. I want to get back to your library, but how important that is for a student to discern. Like, I bet you there's students that don't know what a librarian does because up like Johnny and I with this old lady who's super nice, but you had to whisper to, you know, this whole resource center and
And so, for example, me, you know, I went to Lawrence for music, and I had a job in the media center at the Lawrence Library, and I kind of liked it, but I had never really considered librarianship as a career. So after I graduated, and I was kind of like, you know, just hanging out in Appleton and working at Mongolian Barbecue.
Well, that is a good place.
It was like right across the parking lot from
the
library.
You could have worse jobs than that.
Right.
It was
that's not
great
bad.
Job,
yeah.
Actually.
That's a pretty good place. No complaining
that's
there.
That's not one of those, I had this bad job. No, that's a great place.
And a few of us worked at the library, actually. And so I just really liked it. And
okay, we got to wrap it up. Colleen Rortman, Appleton Public Library. Give us again your times and dates.
We will be opening Saturday, February 15th, 9 a.m., with the ceremony at 11 a.m.
All right.
Congratulations. And again, if people just want to come in and kick the tires and look at the architecture, what a great job you guys did designing that. It's worth the trip, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
I can't wait. You guys going to carry my books?
We probably already
we got
have
a break.
Them.
Oh, yeah. You return them on time, people. All right. Thanks very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Back after us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good song. Good song.
Yeah.
Trying to find the theme. You always have a theme.
Well, I don't know that there necessarily is one.
Okay.
I was just like, you know, I just want a song that says something.
This is what I want to listen to.
All right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's it. You are the producer. You can do that.
You can do
that. So, you know, something there's a lot of fun working here, but getting off site is always fun.
Absolutely. That Wednesday, we're going to be doing it at the Heights.
Right. I mean, when we did those things by Lambeau and down in Oshkosh, and of course, that's not really off site. That's another studio. But yeah, big party coming up. And
yep.
I love
1 year anniversary, Heights Pub and Parlor.
And it's tough. It is tough to make it in any industry. And that whole, you know, restaurant, bar industry is to celebrate a year is something worth celebrating. And
I'll tell you what, if you haven't been there to eat, I mean, it's a great bar to just stop in and watch ball games or do whatever. I've done that, but their food is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Their food is really, really good.
So today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, they're doing a 3-day celebration. While they're open, it's going to be a happy hour the entire time. Okay.
There you go.
So, and then Wednesday morning, the nice thing is we're going to be there starting at 6 o'clock. And starting at 6 o'clock, they're going to have free mimosas and Bloody Marys, and they'll have some appetizers and stuff like that, too. So come on down. You can hang out with Jim and John. We've got a bunch of great guests, including Lisa Malik from Channel 5.
So I can't drink at all.
Why?
Well, because there I go to Lisa's TV show right after
that's
our
right.
show.
Why?
Local 5 Live.
Let me tell you something about Zelaski. Here's what I ask. Lisa, let me talk. Let me talk.
And the producer's in your ear.
Mike will be cut off. Oh. Whole thing. Yeah.
No, that's great. They're celebrating that. And we need to support these small businesses.
Absolutely.
Especially in the downtown. And
absolutely.
And hurting a little bit. So, they do a great job. And like you said, the two things they have going for them, I say this every time they come on, is they got great food. I do like a lot of the stuff they serve. But their service is second to none.
No question.
I
And I'm going to say this.
Pretty big issues with service.
I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It ain't bar food. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, bar food is normally whatever we think deep of bar fried. Food, deep yep. fried into everything. Yep. This is just really good restaurant type food.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's
and it goes
fantastic.
So well with the Spotted Cow.
Yeah,
so,
that it does.
And I think they're going to, maybe not everybody knows, most people do, that they have that whole upstairs for private parties.
Yeah.
And you can see that as well.
No, I, okay,
that's where
I
we're probably
going to
be.
I got to tell you something. Medically, that's all bleeped up. Okay. So.
Does this have to do with the physical you just took?
A little bit.
Oh,
maybe
goodness.
A little. What?
No, go ahead.
So I really devoted this month to losing weight. I even wrote every Monday I was going to do my weigh-in.
Yeah.
My weigh-in.
Yeah.
So I could, okay, I've drank, okay, 4 times for the month of January. Alcohol.
That's good for you,
that's
right?
Good. Yeah. That's great for him.
I'm so doing, I told
four
Todd.
Times a week.
Yesterday I had an avocado and almond and raspberry shake.
Yep.
Okay. I've been eating lots of shake. Everything I buy is keto bread, one carb, I mean, vegetables, yada, yada, yada. Okay?
Okay,
and I've gained 6 pounds.
You're not sticking to it.
I am too.
No, you're not.
How do you give up drinking? How do you eat all good food for you and you put on weight? I went from 216 to 222 just like that. By eating good things and no drinking. How is that humanly possible? My body doesn't work the same way as other people's bodies. My body is somewhere, there's a chromosome missing, there's something that's wedged in, there's something that happened during childbirth when they pulled me out with the tongs.
Yeah, that's
I'll admit
true.
That.
Scarred
my dad
head.
Said they wouldn't even show me to my mom because my head was so lopsided.
Yeah, wow.
Something happened when that
Are
happened.
You, I don't know if I
That's why I got one
you.
Eye out of whack, my whole face is out of whack. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't know that that's... I think you're missing something. There's a lot of diets out there, John. The diets that are successful, and this is carte blanche, across the board, A to Z, are the ones where you write stuff down. Everything. Do you do that?
I write down in my mind.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
It's
you
right
are
here.
Eating that
right
pizza, that cheeseburger. I'm just going to grab this cookie, and you don't write it down.
I don't
see
eat
it.
Sweets. I don't eat sweets. Okay, I don't eat whatever. Sweets. I'm going totally keto. Everything is low keto, low carb.
And what do we say
I'm
about
gaining
keto?
Weight?
You get
I'm
into
gaining
that
weight.
Ketosis, and then you take one thing and you're out of it. And that's what's happening. You're just not seeing it. But that's right.
I never had a ribeye steak before.
Oh, those are good.
And I had one the other night at the Union Hotel.
Yeah, they have good steak there.
And I've only recently gotten onto having medium instead of medium well. Wow, it's so much better.
It is.
I didn't know that. Yeah, you have Brian?
You will aggress. You'll move up to medium rare pretty soon. But okay, hey Brian.
Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor. Hey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Fantastic. We can't wait to come to your place and do the show Wednesday.
Congrats. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 1 year and it's been a ride. That's for sure.
Right.
So I'm glad you guys can come in and celebrate with us. It's going to be a good time.
All right. We just had somebody run into the studio. Said, "Hang up on him. It's time for me to talk." Hi, Ashley.
Weird, hey. I wonder who that could be.
Hey, we are so excited about this, about coming down on Wednesday, though. And, Brian, one of the things we were talking about, what your place is, yeah, it's a bar. It's a great place to go. It's like a Cheers. Go there and talk to the wonderful wait staff and everything. But your food isn't bar food.
That is a very true statement. We want to put a different spin on things so you're not getting the same as everyone else. So I'm glad you recognize that, and I think we get a lot of good feedback from customers that come in and recognize that. So, you know, the restaurant business, it's a tough business. We got through year one, so we always know we need to pivot and do things to continue to be better. So I think year two, you're going to see a lot of good things.
Outstanding. Ashley?
Yeah, hey.
Okay, that was Ashley
there,
from Heights Pub and
Parlor.
Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Wow. So, Ashley,
we'll get back to the boss.
Can we ask, we'll ask you this when we're going to be live at your place on Wednesday. But biggest thing you learned this year? No more. You got rid of those garlic things that I like so much.
Have you learned that I'm a good tipper?
I have. You know,
she's heard that.
Honestly,
it's
just about service. You know,
right.
Service with a smile. You're not that the customer is always right, but they are really, if you think about it. And we aim to please, so.
And you do.
And boy, if it's
great
good,
staff.
It's great. And if it's not, people tell everybody. So
yes.
Thank you for always having great
thank
service.
Thank you.
Phenomenal food.
Make sure you stop in this week. We've got Happy hour drink prices Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and half off appetizers. Hope to see ya.
Heights Pub and Parlor. Come on down on Wednesday. See
Bye.
Ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.